And now hear these words from the prophet Isaiah. We'll be reading from chapter 9 of the book of Isaiah, verses 2 through 7. Let us listen to God's word for us. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has a light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation. Thou hast increased its joy. They rejoice before thee as with joy at the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, thou hast broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David, and over his kingdom to establish it, and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. It's the word of the Lord. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Well, it's good to see all of you here tonight on this Christmas Eve. For us preachers, Christmas Eve is another working day. But the fact that you are here tonight makes you a bit peculiar. While the rest of the world is at home sipping eggnog and enjoying quality time with family and friends, you've taken time out of your busy schedules of wrapping presents and preparing tomorrow's dinner to be here in this place, here in this church, and that makes you a bit odd. It makes you odd because it is some indication that you believe that on this night over 2,000 years ago, something earth-shaking and revolutionary happened, that God, the maker of heaven and earth, entered the darkness of our world and became one of us, a flesh and blood human being. How many of you believe that tonight? Told you were a bit odd. I can think of nothing more exciting and thrilling than to be a part of this strange countercultural community of people who is grounded in the belief that God has come to be amongst us and in our midst as one of us. For we are gathered here tonight not because we believe in happy holidays or because we believe in season's greetings, but we are here tonight because we believe that in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God came to be with us. The Old Testament has always said two things about God. It always reminded us that God was transcendent, that God was above us, and that God is in heaven, that God is holy, that we cannot manipulate God, we cannot bring God down to do our bidding. But the Old Testament has always too said that God, this faraway, transcendent God, also comes close to us. God, it said, comes close to us in the law. Wherever two or three people were studying the law, the Torah, we are reminded that God was present and in our midst. It said that God is present with us in God's Word, the source of life. God spoke and created the world out of nothing, and we are told that it is through God's Word that God also becomes present with us. It told us that God was present through God's Spirit, that God often poured God's Spirit upon flesh, and God was present with us through God's Spirit. And it reminded us that God was often present in the temple in Jerusalem, which was the very presence of God, that God was somehow present with God's people in the temple. And now on this night, God comes to be with us, not in the law, not as the Word, not in the Spirit, not in the temple, but God comes to be with us as one of us, as a real flesh and blood human being, in the name of Jesus the Christ. That's what the doctrine of the incarnation is all about. It is about God becoming a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. God becomes human so that we might learn what it means to be the human beings that God created us to be. That is what this night is all about. That is what Christmas is all about. Now, I should say to you tonight, of course, that the doctrine of the incarnation has always been a bit problematic. The world around us has always had trouble with this affirmation of our faith and our belief. Not only is it problematic for much of the world around us, but it's also a bit problematic even for many of us in the church. That's because the doctrine of incarnation tells us something specific and particular about the God who comes to be with us on this night. It means that we cannot just make God out of anything that we want God to be. That's the tendency that we have sometimes. If we want God to bless our material wealth, then we make God out of a prosperity God. If we want God to endorse our violence, then we make God out of a violent God. If we want God to endorse our prejudices and our hatreds, then we make God out of that kind of God too. But the doctrine of the incarnation reminds us that we cannot do that. We cannot make God out of anything we want God to be. The doctrine of the incarnation reminds us that the God that we come to know and to worship is the God that we come to know and to worship in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God who comes to be with us in a small, vulnerable child, born to an impoverished teenage mother in a far-flung corner of the world among a despised and subjugated people. He is the God who was born in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. He is the God who grew up to say that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He is the God who immediately after he was born, the people who were in positions of power and authority tried to have him killed. He is the God who was beaten and tortured and crucified on a cross outside the walls of the city. And now we are told that he is the God who comes to be with us on this cold, dark night as our Savior and Redeemer. The incarnation is problematic because we are not sure that that is the kind of God who can save us and rescue us. But the incarnation is also problematic, I think, because it implies that God wants to make God's presence felt in our world today, especially in those areas of life where we have been trying to run things on our own and have made a total mess of things. We could spend all night talking about how we have made a mess out of God's good creation, how we have broken our own lives and broken places in this world, and how we have continued to alienate ourselves from God. But this is Christmas Eve, and I promise to be brief. But suffice it to say that we should not be surprised that there are those in our world and in our society who are intent in taking the Christ out of Christmas. Because if it is true that God comes to us this night in the little bitty baby named Jesus, then it means that everything is different. It means that all of our lives have been turned upside down. It means that our values have been turned upside down and our priorities have been turned upside down. Christmas reminds us that God does not come into the world from the centers of power to simply rehabilitate our lives or to get our lives back on track. God does not enter our lives from the centers of power simply to get us a better job or to restore our economy or to fix the small places in our lives, but God comes into our world from the fringes. God comes into our lives and our world from the dark places and the broken places, because God does not simply want to rehabilitate our lives, but God wants to resurrect our lives. God comes into the world to overthrow everything that alienates us from God. And God comes into our world to overthrow everything that we have put our faith and security in. We are reminded tonight that the place where we should especially look for God's presence in the world is not in the brightly lit corridors of a shopping mall or the festive lobby or of some ritzy hotel, or even, if you will excuse me, in the warm and decorative glow of a church sanctuary. Rather, we are called to look for God's presence in the dark places of our world. in those places where people have been made to feel that there is no room for them because they don't have any money, or because they don't have the right credentials, or because their lifestyles are out of kilter, or because they are the wrong economic class, or the wrong color, or the wrong ethnicity. We are told to look for God in those places where people are made to feel like they are outsiders because they don't register very high on our individual and collective consciences, because they are elderly, or frail, or sickly, or imprisoned. We are told to look for God in those places where people are frightened about the future because they have cancer, or because they have AIDS, or because their time is short. We are told to look for God in the dark places of our world, because that's where we are told on this night God enters into our world. I was reading the other day somewhere that there is a war on Christmas. I'm inclined to believe that that is true. But it's not just those who are bent upon trying to impose some measure of political correctness who are the instigators of this war. But it's all of us when we too seek to sentimentalize Christmas, when we forget that God enters into our world through the dark and broken places, we too are attempting to take Christ out of Christmas. Christmas is not about cute babies. It's not about idyllic manger scenes. It's not about family values or family togetherness, as wonderful as all of these things are. Christmas is about God breaking into the darkness of our world, breaking into the darkness of our cold hearts in order to redeem them and to liberate them. So here we are tonight in this place. The world says, "Happy holidays and season's greetings," but we will have none of it. We know that tonight is a special night. We know that tonight is Christmas. We know that tonight is tonight when God breaks into our world. The God of all creation, the God of and maker of heaven and earth, the God who created everything, that God tonight wants to come into our world. Not as a powerful CEO, not as a military general, not as a head of state, not as a governor Quirinius, not as a Pontius Pilate, but as a little bitty baby born to a teenage mother in the manger because there was no place for him in this world that he created. On this dark night, let us praise God. Let us praise the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us open our hearts for the light of God's love and truth and joy, so that we too may shine in the broken and dark places of this world. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this night, this cold, dark night, as we anticipate your coming in our midst. Help us, Lord, to receive you fully. Help us to search for you in the dark and forlorn and the broken places of our world. Help us to follow you and to be imbued with your Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of peace, the Spirit of joy, the Spirit of love, as we seek to receive you in this season. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.